call of Isaiah. And this week we hear about another call. There's many calls in the Bible. This is the call of Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The Lamb of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli. And he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." A word from our Holy Scripture.
Thanks be to God.
Understand the other person's perspective, dilemma or and different point of view. How many of us are truly skilled at that? It takes work. It takes practice. Today's scripture reading tells us about Eli and famine. And I think that this really is a story about listening, but not understanding. If we look at some of the background, the context to our scripture reading today from 1 Samuel, we can begin to understand that the people in the time of Eli and Samuel were not being great listeners. From the sounds of it, they were pretty out of touch with what God was trying to tell them. The temple religion, the priests of Israel, had become corrupted. The last verse from the book of Judges tells us, in those days Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit. And you can bet that their ideas of what was fit didn't often correspond with what God would see as fit. The passage today starts in an equally defeated sounding manner, saying, the word of the Lord was rare in those days, visions were not widespread. Were the people in those days even trying to listen to God, let alone trying to understand what God might be saying? It reminds me of our culture today. We have some corrupt leaders. People always think that in our own time, society is worse off, it seems, than it used to be. People often talk about things going downhill, better in the old days. It doesn't seem that way from the reading today. It sounds like these struggles are human struggles that we go through generation after generation. The old priest, Eli, is a good example of not being able to really hear God's voice and direction at that time. God's voice might be reaching Eli's ears sometimes, but it wasn't reaching his heart. Earlier, in the book of Samuel, we hear a story about Eli's sons, who were using their positions as clergy for financial profit and other gains. Did anyone hear the story in the news this week about the evangelist who's asking for funds from his congregation to buy a private jet? So he can tootle around and spread the word of God. Financial profit and other things. As Eli hears about it, but lets them off the hook. And Eli hears about this, his sons, but he lets them off the hook, which is for his spot. A man of God then warns Eli about what would happen, but still Eli does nothing. He was not really hearing, because really hearing would have meant he had to institute some change. And Eli was old, probably tired, worn down, and fed up. Change will be hard. It turns out, what Samuel ends up telling Eli about God's plan isn't happy news for Israel, even. God needs to come in and clean things up, and the growing pains are going to be hard. So no wonder Eli didn't really want to hear what God was saying. You gotta hand it to God. This is a pretty clever tactic. God couldn't get through to Eli in the traditional way, so another method is used. No one would ever suspect God would use a little kid to communicate divine messages. Very smart, God. Poor Samuel. He was listening, but he had no idea what he was hearing. He was so young and so inexperienced. Why would God ever talk to a little child such as Samuel? That's absurd. So when Samuel hears God's voice calling to him, he automatically assumes it's his teacher and mentor Eli calling him. Once, twice, three times. Samuel doesn't know any better. But finally, Eli figures it out. God, it's God trying to speak to Samuel. Maybe we better put him in. Finally, Eli listens to the clues of what's happening around him. Finally, he doesn't just listen. Understand. With Eli and Samuel, God came knocking. If there have been cell phones in those days, and God would call them, God did last week. It sounds from the biblical context as if God had been knocking for quite a while already, but nobody was actually listening. Not even the old sage priest Eli. The doors were locked. So God figured out a way to make it impossible to ignore the knocking. God used the Trojan horse approach, coming through the door in an unexpected way, through a small, unsuspecting child. So when we reflect on this story, what can we ask ourselves about listening and hearing? Might we be silent, hearing God, but mistaking it for just an ordinary voice? Sometimes God speaks to us, calls to us in ways that we might not immediately recognize. We might think we're hearing the voice of someone else, when really it's God's voice calling to us. Or could we be Samuel being the voice of God to Eli? Do I or you have something that needs to be said and that needs to be heard within the community or my family or my circle of peers? Do I have a message from God? Or am I Eli, opting for an easy life and ignoring what is plainly in front of my face? Is there something that I need to address before God? What might I be accepting as the status quo that actually needs to be worked on, to be challenged, and to be changed? Mama,
who's there? Thank you.